I'm Sunny Kane, and you're listening to the next faith-filled step right here on Pilgrim Radio. Each week, we'll explore simple, practical ways to respond to God's Word in our everyday lives. Let's choose wisdom over willpower, purpose over pressure, and take the next faith-filled step together. One day, one moment, one decision at a time. Well, welcome back to the next faith-filled step. You know, this time of year is a time where we intentionally remember and celebrate the death and the resurrection of Jesus. But in reality, this isn't just a once-a-year message. It is the foundation of our faith, something that we carry with us all of the time. And as pilgrims on a journey, this is the story that we're living inside of, not just one moment, but over and over again in different ways. Because the reality is that we all walk through seasons that we didn't choose, moments that feel like everything fell apart, where the rug gets pulled out from underneath us. And maybe for you, that's what life feels like right now. I don't know if it's heartbreak or loss or a diagnosis or just a season that feels heavy and uncertain. But what I found is that so often we want to fast forward through those parts of the story. We want to get past the ache, past the waiting, past the questions, that space in between, that Saturday season, the part of the story where everything feels so very silent and unresolved, and we're not sure what comes next. And that's what drew me to this conversation. I had the opportunity to sit down with Courtney Prey Duke, a woman who walked through unimaginable loss, a moment that she didn't see coming and never would have chosen. And in the middle of it, she learned what it looks like to stay with God in that in-between space. There is depth to her story. You can hear it in the way she talks about Jesus, in the way that she holds on to truth, in the way that she walked this road. And my hope for you is that as you listen, you'll be reminded of this, that you are not alone in whatever part of the story that you're in. And maybe instead of rushing past the hard places, maybe there's something here for you, even in the middle of the story. Here's my conversation with Courtney Prey Duke. Well, Courtney, I want to thank you so much for being here with us on the next faith-filled step.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so honored to be here.
Well, we're here to talk about your brand new book, And She Got Up. But before we get into that, I always love opening up this time because it helps me get to know a person's heart a little bit. Mm. You know, there is this difference between knowing about God and then knowing Him personally. Mm-hmm. I would love to hear you speak to what name of God or aspect of who He is resonates the most with you.
Oh, I love that question. I would say the name, the aspect of God. I've over the past decade of walking through the fire, I have really discovered the character of God in so many facets. It's hard to just pick one, but yeah. I love what comes to mind is the name Jehovah Shammah. It says the Lord is there, and He's been so present with me in every single moment of my life, whether it's on the mountaintop, which we would expect, but what's so beautiful is that He has met me in every lowest valley. Jehovah Shammah, He has been there, right there with me, walking me through every moment of my life. And it is just, His faithfulness is astounding.
It really is. And for you, that particular name, I mean, I heard you say mountaintop as well as in the valley low, but is there a moment, and I know I'm putting you on the spot here, but is there a moment where you feel like that name really came alive for you?
Oh, yes. We'll just kind of dive into it without giving too much of the story away. I'd love to just let you in on a little bit of the hardest parts of my story. And that was I got a phone call that changed my life forever. And I was married to my childhood sweetheart. We had three beautiful babies. We had been married for almost 11 years. And I got a phone call that my husband had been in a cycling accident. And everything I had built my life up to that point had been shattered, and it was tested. Okay. So what I knew in theory about God now was becoming just in 4D. It was not just a knowing of God, but an experiencing God, and really tasting and seeing Him in such a real and palpable way. And that is where when I heard the news that my husband didn't make it. It was as if the ground underneath me just began to crumble, and I was left going, God, where are you? As so many of us feel when life, the life that we had planned and the life that we were living, just all of a sudden goes a whole different direction, and we question and we wrestle with God. But it was there in that moment, and really, when I went back home alone, and when we had the funeral, and when I buried him, and in those really dark, lonely days, there following days and weeks and months and years, where the presence of God became so real to me, Sunny, more real than this chair I'm sitting on. And it's like we think that our mess is going to scare God off, or he's not going to want to come near us. But scripture says that he is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. So he was near to me, he was with me, and he also began to just save me. I had given my life to Jesus, but he was literally saving me from moment to moment, because my spirit was crushed.
Yeah. It's interesting, you know, in so many of those seasons that are crushing for us, it's funny how we will have moments where God, we feel like an absence, like a void of his presence. We can't figure out because we can't make sense of the moment. And you're talking about a God who felt very near. I'm curious, was that in hindsight, you know, he was near, or did you feel him in those moments? Like, talk to me a little bit about the contrast of those kind of moments.
Yeah. Well, obviously, in hindsight, I could see him in every nuance and detail of my life, even before the accident, even before, you know, life just split into two, before and after this horrific thing that I walked through. But I think there are many, many, many specific moments. And I can remember laying my head on my pillow at night thinking, God, you were there when the kids, you know, were crying out for their daddy. You were there to bring comfort in that moment. You were there to fill our home. After I would tuck the kids in bed at night, and I would turn out the lights, and the house would be quiet. And I didn't know if God had anything, any purpose or anything good for my life again. I can remember saying, Lord, I'm choosing to take you at your word. And I would open up the word of God, and I would turn on worship music so it would just drown out these lies and these fears, and that really drown out the darkness. And this, as worship music would fill my home, and as I would read the word, and I would go over his promises and just say them out loud, even when I didn't feel them or see them coming, you know, to fruition. I held on to it as if it were my life, because it was. And it was in those moments where it was dark, it was lonely, it was crushing, that I felt this presence of God come over my home and fill my home and just really cover my mind and my heart in such specific ways that I got to write about in my new book, And She Got Up. But it's just, it's one of those things that someone can tell you about God your whole life, or you can know things about him or go to church or any of these things. But it's really when you have experienced his presence in such palpable, real, tangible ways that you really begin to see that God is who he says he is, and he will be who he says he will be, that his promises are true no matter how devastating our circumstances can be.
Mm-hmm. You know, as you're speaking, first of all, thank you for just going here. I think that when we open up our stories, it helps other people to know that they are not alone. right? In these,
yes.
While the stories may be different, the experiences humans can relate. And you mentioned that you filled your home with worship and you clung to truth, but you also talked about that worship chasing away some of the lies. So I'm just thinking of a listener who might have been relating to you. What can you remember some of those lies or those fears that were regularly you were needing God's truth to send away?
Yes. So a lot of the lies came in the form of your better days are behind you. You don't have a future. Your kids aren't going to make it. They're not going to turn out. They're going to just, you know, fall apart, and you're not going to have what it takes. And who knows where you're going to get your next meal and where you're going to get your next paycheck and all of these things that we just get, the enemy just wants to take us out with.
Yeah.
And it is scripture that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's all he's out for. So in order to combat these lies, I like to call it making a declaration in the dark. Mm-hmm. And a declaration, a biblical declaration, is literally just opening up God's word and saying back to God what he's already spoken over us. And so making these declarations in the dark, it diffuses the lies that the enemy is trying to throw our way, because our words and our declarations have power,
yeah,
right? There's life and power of life and death in the tongue. And I really had to learn early on that I had a choice to make. And we all have a choice to make every single day to wake up. And as hard and as crushing and as suffocating as life can be, we get to make a choice. God, am I going to follow you and trust you in the unknown and in this darkness? Or am I just going to cave in to the fear and to the pain? And so it was in these dark moments. I can remember one night specifically that I do write about in the book. And it was I had just buried my husband. Mm. And it was approaching midnight. I was having a hard time going to sleep, and I had my lamp on, and I had these little, I was going through cards that so many precious people had given me at the funeral. And I was just trying to hold on to anything that would help me get to the next 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And there were scriptures written in these cards, and I can't remember the specific ones at this moment, but it was scriptures that are, do not fear, for you are mine. I've called you by name and you are mine. And I will hold your hand. I will be with you. I will walk through you will walk through the fire and will not be burned. You know, you will walk through deep waters and they will not overtake you. And so I can remember saying, okay, Lord, life is dark. It's not only dark outside right now, but it's, the sun had gone down on my life as I knew it. And so in order to diffuse the darkness, the light, even a little flicker of light is enough to light up the night. And so I would take God's word and use that as an active sword. The Bible, you know, it is the sword of the spirit. It's the only offensive weapon that we have in this dark world. And so being able to even just read it out loud and say, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what the future holds. But right now in this moment, I'm choosing to take you at your word. And I'm choosing to simply put my trust in you, even if it's just for the next 5 minutes. And in the next 5 minutes, we're going to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And so it began to drown out this song of defeat. The truth came in to inject, the truth came in to inject these lies so they could just wither away.
Yeah.
And really put on a new song I could now sing on repeat.
Yeah.
That was, God, you are with me. You are never going to leave me. You are never going to forsake me. And truly begin to build those muscles of faith even when the night is dark.
I love that you, just the declarations you talked about, I know that comes directly from your book, and it, what you're talking about, it, immediately what came to my mind is I remember a season where it was in my dark night of the soul from some situations we walked through as a family, and I did not have prayers of my own, right? So the song I was singing was probably one of defeat that I kept singing over my life for a very long time. But all I had at the time is I would hold the Bible to my chest, and I almost would just tap it or embrace it and say, God is with me, God is for me, God will never leave me.
Yes.
And I, at the time, it's, I wouldn't say that it was like this, like, oh, God is with me and I know it. It was me saying, I know this is truth and I am desperate to believe it right now. God is with me. God is for me. God will never leave me. And so I just, I love the declarations you're talking about, and I've had experience of those setting me free in my life. So for a listener out there, do this. And your declarations must be rooted in God's word. That's what I heard you say, as opposed to, because the world's doing affirmations all the time.
That's right. And there's only so much affirmations and self-help books we can read, but ultimately, Jesus is the way, the truth, the light. He is the only healer. He is the only living God reigning and ruling, and he's got every molecule of our lives and holding us together.
Yes. Well, I love the title of your book and even the subtitle. It's, And She Got Up, Shattered by Loss, Restored by Jesus. It's really a powerful title. Would you tell us a little bit behind that?
Yes. So this title came straight from scripture. And one day, several years ago, I want to say it was around 2023, I was just looking over my life, and I had just dropped my firstborn off at college. And, you know, if you're a mama and you've been through that, it's, there's a whole, there's a whole process to go through. And I can just remember thinking, I was out on a walk in my neighborhood, and I was thinking, God, you have been so faithful. There wasn't one day you left me. There wasn't one day you left my kids. There wasn't one day you failed us. So thank you. And I was just walking, and a lot of times, you know, we can really process and heal. Our bodies are wired to do that at about 2 to 3 miles per hour. So going on walks is a great way, practically speaking, to really just move things inside of you, whatever that looks like, prayer, lament, joy, sorrow, all of this. In this particular moment, I was filled with gratitude to the point of tears and just saying, God, thank you. Just thank you for what you've done in my life, and you have held us through. And not only held us through to survival, but you've held us through to thriving. And I was so hungry to just to know, to really be able to point that to a specific story in scripture in the word. So I got home and I opened up my Bible, and I came across this story in Matthew 9. So for those of you listening, Matthew 9, and so the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's all the same account from different writers. And so they're from different facets of the same stories in the Bible. So Matthew 9 and Mark 5 line up together. And it's the story, and many of you might be familiar with it. If you're not, it's a story. Jesus is walking through this village, and basically there are two women that experience two different miracles. But it happens all within the matter of probably minutes, hour. We don't really know the time frame. But as Jesus is on his way to go and heal a little girl who was dying, that's when the woman with the issue of blood, she had had a long suffering. She had endured a lot of painful years. She had run out of resources and run out of doctors and run out of any kind of help. And she knew if she could just get close enough to Jesus, that she would be healed. And her faith, Jesus looked at her and said, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. And so she was healed in that moment. And so Jesus is doing this miracle on the way then to go and heal this daughter of a synagogue leader named Jairus, who was saying, okay, Jesus, come on, she's dying. And as I'm reading this story, I'm just being just stirred up inside. And in the exact scripture, basically, there was a lot of noise happening outside of the home, and they were already just, everyone had just assumed she was dying. But Jesus says, she's not dead, but asleep. And so it says, after the crowd had been put outside, this is Matthew 9:25. After the crowd had been put outside, Jesus went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. Mm. When I read that, I just instant chills. My mouth was open. I said, Lord, you didn't just do it for that girl that day. I wasn't dead or dying, but I was pretty close to it.
Yeah.
Laying on my bed the night I found out my husband had been struck by a bus and killed, I did not know if I would ever be able to get up. And I'm not talking about just standing upright. I'm talking about getting up and living a life of beauty and purpose and victory again.
Yeah.
And this is what Jesus did for me. And so not only what he did for her, this 12-year-old girl, and she got up, I thought to myself, I'm the she. And she got up. That was me, Lord. You did that for me. And I'm just thinking, the girl down the road that's been through an awful divorce, that's her. The girl on the other side of the world who doesn't think she's worthy. Lord, that's the she.
Yeah.
So I just started to see that this story, this is what God does, and this is who he is.
Yeah.
And there's no one and nothing that is too far gone from the outreached hand that is available to every single one of us to bring us up and out of the valley of ashes onto our feet by his hand, by the power of his touch. And it changes everything. And so if you flip over into Mark 5, you'll see that when Jesus is calling this little girl up, you know, he says, Talitha kum. Mm-hmm. And that phrase, it means, little girl, I say to you, get up. And that is the resurrection power that Jesus, who died on the cross, he was buried on the third day, he rose again. And because of the resurrection of Jesus, we now get to walk in the resurrection that he has offered
yeah.
to every single one of us. It's on the table. And a resurrected life is living a life of getting up.
Yeah, I was telling you before we even hit record this story, I get tears over it every time I hear it in scripture. It meant so much to me because what I also see in this story is Jesus gives us the invitation, but we have a choice on whether we will get up.
Yes.
And there have been seasons in my life, I'm guessing seasons of yours, where I didn't know if I had the ability to stand. I did
Absolutely.
Not know if I would be able to take what God invited me into because I felt like I don't have it. So when you know you've been given this invitation, Courtney, and in that place where you felt like you couldn't get up, what is the space in between? How did you actually get up?
Yes, so good. You know, I believe that Jesus can do it in an instant. He can touch any one of our lives, and he can do more in a moment than we could do in a lifetime.
Yes.
For me, this was a day-by-day process of saying, again, it goes back to choosing, Lord, I don't know what you're doing. I don't like this. It doesn't make sense. It hurts. I don't know what happened to the plan. And Eva, it looks like maybe you abandoned the plan, but I realized he didn't abandon the plan. Mm. I wasn't living a life of plan B. I was living in the sovereignty and the goodness of God that was plan A all along. And that's for every single one of us. There wasn't a mistake on his part. He didn't fall off his throne. He didn't misstep or overlook you, but he sees you right where you are, and he wants to take you by the hand and lead you through this valley. And he will be faithful, like he did for me over years of waking up every day, choosing, God, I'm going with you. I don't know what you're doing today, but I'm going with you. And that looks like surrounding yourself with people that love Jesus, people that are going to support you and lift your head when you start to look, you know, down at the circumstance and remind you of what's true. And getting plugged into a church community was so important for my healing and for my children. Choosing to worship instead of worry, choosing to walk by faith over fear, taking God at His word. And this all happens in this, for me, I call it like the messy middle. It's the years or the days that seem quiet. They seem unfair. It seems like the light isn't turning green. The phone isn't ringing. Everyone has moved on. No one understands. But yet, God, I will trust you. Waiting on God and walking with Him can really become one of the most beautiful and exciting journeys of a lifetime. And when I look back on it, I can remember I journaled my way through this also. So I would take my journal out and I would just, you know, it's okay to wrestle with God. He can take it. Just keep talking to Him. Keep bringing your needs before Him. Keep pouring out your heart to Him, because He is near and He is never going to leave you or forsake you or let you go. And I experienced this firsthand of this life transformation in the secret place. And what I found to be true in these years of kind of the messy middle of fighting this thing out, but knowing God was fighting my battles for me, is I discovered in the lack, in the mess, in the heartache, and in the pain, and in the waiting, and all of these things, I discovered the secret to life. And I know that's crazy, but the secret to life truly is found in the secret place with God. And it's those moments, you know, in the middle of it all, I can remember it was so, I just ached.
Yeah.
Even the joyful moments and celebration would somehow come across, you know, with sorrow. But I can look back and say, oh, Lord, some of the sweetest times of my life were found in the secret place with you, those intimate spaces of just me and the Lord, me completely relying on Him to keep holding my hand and to lift me up. And He's brought so much beauty, so much purpose. He's restored what the locust have eaten in scripture. In Joel, it says that He will restore the years that the locust have eaten. And I'm seeing Him restore in my life even today. He's continuing to restore what the enemy tried to take us out with. God is giving back, and with restoration, it's not, God doesn't, you know, you can't replace a person, but God can restore a loss. Yeah. And it is just so beautiful. There's no other way I'd want to spend my life than just to get to tell people about the reality of the love, the power, and the presence of Jesus, and that He's able to lift anyone, anytime, anywhere, up from the ashes, set them on their feet, and really bring so much more purpose and victory to your life than you could ever imagine.
It's when you were talking, and you're talking about this messy middle, I can't help but think, you know, the messy middle sounds a lot like Silent Saturday. I mean, that place where it felt like all hope was lost, and there's a linger before the resurrection, these waiting moments. Mm-hmm. You spoke to it a little bit there, but I want to ask it this way. In that Silent Saturday, in that messy middle, I heard you say, I think, that that season was a gift because it was in the secret place.
Yes.
Would you, what is the gift of Silent Saturday, and why does it seem like He delays there?
Yes. Okay. So that is, it feels like He's delaying, but God, His delays are always divinely appointed and right on time, because He knows what we need. He has a plan greater than what we can see. And that's where, again, trust has to come in. But I'm just going to say that messy middle and that no man's land kind of place that seems desolate, that seems quiet, like, God, where did you go? Where are you? I thought you were going to come through, like, you know, with fireworks and immediately. And he's going, no, I want to be with you. And I want to get close to you. And I want you to know more of me. And I want to teach you my heart and teach you my ways. And if I can dare say that messy middle is where you are made. That is the making of us. If we could, I know so many of us would want to push a fast forward button through the making of our lives and through that messy middle, but that is the most critical part of the journey. It is the process that we begin to understand the character of God and the fire where you're really, that's really where, you know, anything beautiful like a diamond, it's buried deep in the earth and there's a lot of heat and fire pressing around it and it takes time. But what comes forth from that is not something that money could buy. It's not something that people can give or you can make overnight, but it's something worth, what scripture says, worth far more than gold. And that is what he has for every single one of us, because we were never promised life would be easy. You know, every single one of us were told that we in this life, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And it's in the take heart that we can cling to the goodness of God and we can trust him and we can get to know him on a level that has now become the greatest gift in my life. I would not take any of that back. And I wouldn't fast forward through any of those long, dark, slow, painful days. And it sounds really crazy, but that is the meat and potatoes. I mean, that was where really this new life was forged and formed. And just like Jesus, you know, everyone wondered what happened. You know, his timing is not like ours. They probably planned for him to be resurrected and come to life immediately. And it was three full days of silence. But even the silence of Saturday has a sound. And that silence is the most profound and impactful part of the process of our lives. So rather than push it away, lean into it and let God make you into more than you could dream, because his specialty is resurrection. Mm. And if you haven't yet experienced it, it's coming for you.
You said silence has a sound. What is that sound? How would you articulate that?
Oh, yeah, that's good. I actually wrote a little piece on this, and I haven't published it or anything yet. But, you know, the sound is the hope. It's the murmurings. It's the tremblings. It's the groanings. It's the longings. It's the, there has to be more than this. That silence and that anticipation and expectation is what brings us close. It's what brings us to the point of resurrection. Mm. And it takes that silence in order to get up. It takes a moment of thinking the plan had been abandoned and shattered in order to really know that sound is profoundly impactful for the rest of our lives. And God, again, he is a God of restoration. Mm-hmm. He does not leave us. He does not forsake us where the enemy tried to take us out. But like Genesis 50:20 says, what the enemy intended to harm, God meant it for good, for the saving of many lives. And God has good for every single one of us. Psalm 23, surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life, not just on the days that are going like you planned or like you hoped or like you dreamed, but all the days of our lives, even in the silence of Saturday. Mm-hmm. The sounds of worship, the sounds of goodness are coming.
Yeah.
And can fill that space until the breakthrough comes, because with God, what is impossible with man is possible with God.
When you speak, Courtney, the words that come to my mind is just, I believe you. You carry a weight to you, a weight that was no doubt built in fire. But what it feels like to me that I believe you is, I look at you and I think our listeners are probably with me in this moment. I can feel the breath of God through you. And so I just really quickly want to affirm you and say, keep going, sister. People in our world, they need to encounter people who they can believe, because trust has been shattered in our world. And having a woman who will not only get up, but who will raise her hand and say yes, but a woman who carries depth because you did sit in Saturday, you did trust his word. Thank you for representing the kingdom of God, for being my sister in Christ in that yes, for pouring your life into us today here at Pilgrim Radio.
What a gift. What a blessing and a privilege to get to be here with you today and just to speak hope and life. And I just believe it with all my heart that God is not done writing your story. And so hold on. He's worthy and worth it all.
Well, you have woven together here such a beautiful story, and I think it is such a God thing that we landed this on Easter weekend. But we like to end this program really encouraging listeners with a next faith-filled step that they could take as a result of the conversation that we have had today. If you could encourage them with one faith-filled step, maybe in a hard or uncertain place, what would that be?
Do the next thing that's right there. If God, what's he asking you to do? Do you feel him asking you to take a leap of faith? Is there a job that he's wanting you to take? Is there a move you're needing to make? Is there provision that he's inviting you to trust him with, but it doesn't look like it makes sense? Is there something, a person that you need to go to for forgiveness? What is that next step into walking in this faith-filled life that is really an adventure? Because when you're hand in hand with Jesus, he's not going to let you misstep. He's not going to let you miss out. And so I would just encourage you, what is it that he's asking you to do? Take the leap of faith and trust him, because his plans and his ways are so much greater than ours. So I would just invite you to cultivate listening, you know, listening to him and then obeying where he's leading, and trust him in the unknown.
This has been such a beautiful conversation, and I am guessing our listeners are going, I got to learn more about Courtney. So where can they find out about you and your book? Where can they, you know, connect with you?
Yeah, CourtneyPrayDuke.com. And yes, Pray is now my middle name. That was my married name. So I have three babies with Pray name. So it's Pray, CourtneyPrayDuke.com. And you can get And She Got Up wherever books are sold. So Amazon, Walmart.com, Target, Books A Million, Christian Book.
Awesome. Well, I encourage you to pick up this book, listeners. She calls it a roadmap as well as a memoir, but I think it's going to bless your life. And I think you know that from this conversation today. Well, Courtney, thank you so much for taking time out of your week to spend time with us here on The Next Faith-Filled Step.
Thank you so much for having me. It has been such a joy getting to be on here with you.
Well, thanks for listening to The Next Faith-Filled Step right here on Pilgrim Radio. This week, look for one way to respond to what God is revealing in your life. One day, one moment, one decision at a time.